Good afternoon, you're listening to KFSK News for Friday, June 12th. I'm Taylor Heckert. The Alaska Division of Elections says retired teacher Dan Sullivan of Petersburg is not eligible to run against Republican U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan. In a letter to the Challenger Wednesday night, Elections Division Director Carol Beecher wrote that the evidence doesn't support his eligibility for office. The decision is preliminary. Petersburg Sullivan couldn't be reached for comment yesterday afternoon, but said Wednesday he'd seek legal advice if the state denies him access to the primary ballot.
I'm just going to stay the course, and I am assuming that this attempt will fail and I'll be on the ballot.
Senator Sullivan and the National Republican Senatorial Committee, or NRSC, accused him of aiming to confuse Alaska voters by filing his candidacy using the same name and party designation as the incumbent. The controversy adds fireworks to a campaign that has so far been fairly restrained. Senator Sullivan and his main rival, Democrat Mary Peltola, have largely avoided head-on conflicts while their campaigns amass millions of dollars. Petersburg Sullivan says he's running because he's dissatisfied with the incumbent and says there are ways to distinguish the two Sullivans on the ballot.
I think he's making a big deal out of nothing and run on his record. And if people like him, they'll vote for him. If they like me, they'll vote for me. And let's just try to get back to some normalcy here.
The NRSC did not respond to an interview request. Elections law attorney Scott Kendall, who briefly represented Senator Sullivan 12 years ago, suspects the challenger is trying to confuse voters, which he calls a tragedy. But he says the state is wielding too heavy a hand.
At the end of the day, however fanciful his story sounds, pulling him off the ballot, I think, is an extreme remedy.
Kendall says the problem could be solved by just labeling one, the incumbent, along with middle initials. The state's letter gave the challenger a day to respond. U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski made a brief stop in Petersburg late last month. She spent over an hour touring the Petersburg Medical Center's newest building, which she secured $8 million in federal funding for. KFSK joined in on the tour and has this story.
Hi, I'm Sonia.
U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski greeted a crowd of hospital and borough staff outside the new Wellness, Education, and Resource Center, or WERC, building. She'd just gotten off the plane in Petersburg for a very brief visit to the community. The new building is the first phase of the Petersburg Medical Center's plan to build new facilities to replace the aging hospital. The current hospital facility is old. Many parts of the building are well beyond their life expectancy. The senator saw Petersburg's first MRI machine.
This makes such a difference.
The computer lab and private telehealth booth.
I haven't seen anything like this. This is nice.
And behind-the-scenes spaces, like the hospital's new workshop.
Again, I think you forget how big the community has to be that supports what goes on within the medical facility.
Yeah.
The senator appropriated $8 million in federal funding to help construct the WERC building, which completed construction last fall. In an interview after the tour, she says she gets opportunities to see where federal dollars are going.
But sometimes it seems like it's years after the fact, or more often it's when there's steel girders going up and you try to envision it.
She says being able to actually see the completed building was a great experience. She said she was proud to be, quote, a very small part of the project. This was also a way for hospital staff and administrators to share ongoing challenges with the senator. She listened as hospital leaders shared challenges around finding more employees. They also talked about restrictive Medicaid rules that have prevented some patients from qualifying for long-term care. At the end of the tour, Petersburg Medical Center CEO Phil Hofstetter thanked Murkowski for her investment in the hospital's project.
I'm so grateful. We could not have this building. We could not have had the infrastructure bill or even any parts of this without your help and your funding. So I want to formally thank you, and even the $2.7 million that you put in for this year as well.
Currently, Murkowski has requested an additional $2.7 million for the hospital's next building, a new long-term care facility. Currently, the hospital's long-term care wing is in the oldest part of the building from the 1950s. A hospital condition survey from January detailed multiple concerns with the wing, including issues with ventilation and plumbing. That federal funding request is still pending. Murkowski said it takes more than the federal delegation to make a project happen.
Not everything that you're seeking is going to be delivered by the federal government. It's partners at all levels. But when the community demonstrates the skin in the game and the real priority, this is where we're able to help make the magic happen. And you made the magic happen here.
The senator was given some hospital-branded merch as a gift, but she also brought a gift of her own.
I was told that you don't have a flag for the hospital. Is that true? Okay, so you have to have a flag for the hospital. So this was flown over the Capitol at my request in recognition of Petersburg Wellness Education and Resource Center.
Thank you so much.
Murkowski sat down for lunch with hospital staff before leaving to quickly tour Scow Bay, Petersburg's wastewater facility, and the Baylor. In Petersburg, I'm Taylor Heckert. Earrings, especially with traditional materials or complex beadwork, are emblems of contemporary Indigenous fashion, connectedness, and identity. And last week, more than 60 artists showed up in Juneau to sell their jewelry at Celebration, a days-long event that uplifts the survival and persistence of Tlingit, Haida, and Tsimshian cultures. As KTOO's Yvonne Crumley reports, some attendees saved up for years to buy earrings for themselves and loved ones.
Dozens of stalls line the Otonanehit Arts Plaza in Juneau, and the tables are piled with colorful beads, fur, bone, and shell jewelry, usually in sets of two. Brittany Woods Orison is wandering the market with a couple of friends, looking over the items laid out on each table. She says buying from Indigenous makers generates wealth that stays in Alaska.
You're keeping the abundance in the community, and then you have this really, you start building a connection with the people you have art from.
Woods Orison is from Rampart, or Tlait Tanits, a village on the Yukon River. After traveling from Fairbanks, where she lives now, she's being thoughtful about adding to her earring collection. She says there was a time in her life where she would spend more than $400 on a piece. Now, her monthly expenses are higher, so she's buying less and choosing carefully. And she's looking for pieces for young people in her family that they can pass down.
Gifting is more important now, too. I'm like, getting to my auntie age. It's time to start buying the nieces and nephews their inherited pieces.
And of course, the earrings look good. She says they can be an icebreaker for meeting other Native people outside Alaska, too.
Also, I always joke it's a bat signal for all the Natives when we're traveling in big cities. I'm like, oh, where are you from? Where'd you buy those?
Across the plaza, Kayla McCutcheon is behind a booth covered in earrings made from hand-smith metal hoops with tiny macrame designs in bright-colored thread. Earrings on display range from $50 to more than $100. She came from Sitka, and it's her first time selling at Celebration. Making jewelry is McCutcheon's full-time job.
This is, like, my first Celebration market, so I don't know how this will, like, impact kind of my year-round sales. But I would say that markets in general make up, like, 40% of my sales. So it's a pretty big amount.
She says she started weaving micro macrame for fun, but the business is in her blood.
My mom was a jeweler growing up, and she always, like, contributed to our household income by making art. And she was like, if you could turn this into earrings, you'll make a lot of money.
McCutcheon has been selling jewelry full-time for 7 years. She says she hired a babysitter to watch her 2-year-old daughter for about 10 hours a week so she could make as many earrings as possible in the months before Celebration. Outside of those hours, she stays up after her daughter's bedtime and weaves. She says the earring industry is huge in Southeast Alaska.
I don't think my business would be as successful as it is if I lived anywhere else in the world.
Earrings are a part of everyday life here, McCutcheon says.
You'll see somebody out on the boat in a sweatshirt and sweatpants and extra tufts wearing, like, caribou tufted, beaded dentalium earrings, or like big bougie dangly raven tail.
And all over the market, shoppers are carefully picking through stalls, noting which they plan to come back to. Alaska Scaffoldstead holds up a bold pair of earrings to her ears. They're long white ermine pelts with chains and shells sewn in. She talks with the artist and seller Diamond Williams, who explains the cultural significance of the ermine, a small mammal with a camouflage coat.
Back in the day, our warriors used to wear it on their armor. And they had, like, a significant of, like, disappearing.
I might just disappear into the night.
Kind of wear them as a statement piece.
Yeah, very much so. They're beautiful.
Williams is from Juneau, but lives in Anchorage. She travels across the western United States selling earrings at Native markets. She says she needs to earn at least a couple $1,000s to make the trip to Celebration pay off financially. Her customer, Scaffoldstead, came to Celebration from Hoonah. She says she couldn't make it last time, so she had more time to save money to spend at the market.
Happy I can finally make it. brought all my money.
She bought the ermine earrings for herself, which cost $250. But she wasn't done shopping. She wanted to buy gifts for family members too.
It's very sentimental when you buy something that's handmade and then from like a local artist that it's their living, and then you get to share it with your friend.
William said she earned enough on the first day of celebration alone to make the trip to Juneau from Anchorage worth it. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry.
Southeast Alaska is home to a variety of marine mammals, but a different kind can be seen swimming in Sitka as graduates of a new underwater academy get their feet and flippers wet with a new skill, mermaiding. KCAW's Lauren Salemo reports.
Aurora Randolph wades in the center of the deep end of the Blatchley Middle School pool.
You want to try it again?
Yeah.
Over by the pool's edge, one of Randolph's students takes a deep breath before swimming toward her. She watches closely.
Nice! You kept that form perfect the whole time. That was great.
But she's not leading a Blatchley Middle School swim practice. This is an adult mermaid class.
Restroom, get some water, stretch your legs out, stretch your ankles out, make sure they're feeling good. And
then the mer students need a stretch because they're probably not used to swimming this way.
How are you guys feeling? Do you feel magical?
I feel fishy.
Do you feel fishy?
After a 10-minute break, it's time to slide into their gear and head back to the deep end. The swimmers slip their feet into monofins. They're like a pair of flippers, except their feet are bound together by a piece of rubber shaped like a dolphin tail.
And kind of like if you're trying to put on pants and you don't want to get the pant leg wet, bunch it up as much as you can, and then you're going to
They pull thin spandex sleeves speckled with scales over their fins. Randolph's tail shimmers with a mosaic of pinks, purples, and blues, with frills flowing from the tail's fluke.
We've been kind of joking at the pool that I am now a professor of the mermaid arts at the pool for Mermaid Academy.
Randolph works for the city's Parks and Recreation Division. Last week, she taught kids how to swim with mermaid tails.
And then a few people reached out and were like, is there like an age limit on the kid class?
Erica Apathy was one of those people. She wanted to try something she had never done before, and mermaid class seemed just the thing. Apathy says she swam when she was in school.
But it's totally different, right, to have your feet, right, kind of stuck together.
During their first lesson, Randolph focused on basic mermaid mechanics, how to properly propel and ditch their tail in case something went wrong. Now her students look to master the artistry of pencil dives, tail flips, and bubble kisses.
Sounds like you're going to take a nice big breath. You're going to go down. And then you're just gonna blow out all those bubbles and push them out to the world like this.
The pool goes quiet as students dunk their heads below the surface to watch Randolph's underwater demonstration through their goggles.
Water is probably gonna go up your nose on this one.
Randolph says mermaiding is as much a technical sport as it is an art form. And after 2 days of two-hour classes, her students seem to have mastered both aspects.
And now we have graduates of Mermaid Academy, first class of summer 2026, and the start of the official Sitka Southeast Mermaid Pod.
One of those graduates is Ashlyn Eminoff. She says she signed up for the adult mermaid class after seeing how much fun her younger sister had during the kids' session. Now they have a new way to spend time together.
That was one of the first things she said once her class was finished, and she said, we can swim together, and oh, it's so cute.
Randolph says she's been a mermaid for a decade, mostly in warmer places like Florida and St. Croix. Whether she's swimming in springs or scuba diving next to sea turtles, she has always felt most at home in the water.
Being a mermaid feels so correct in the most magical way possible for me.
Sitka's new mermaids glide back to the shallow end, take off their tails, and hop out of the pool. As they head to the locker room, Randolph's glad she invited them to be part of her world. In Sitka, I'm Lauren Salemo.
For Canvas K, I'm Taylor Heckert.